You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Tuesday, July 6, 2021. United we stand. Pembina and Inter Pipeline merger could create Canada's largest midstreamer. Published by Martin King. Financial pain, increasing regulatory scrutiny, and rising environmental mandates have been keenly felt across the entire energy industry in the past few years. When times are tough and companies are struggling to regain their footing, corporate mergers often increase in frequency. One recently announced merger between two large Canadian midstream providers, Pembina Pipeline and Inter Pipeline, has grabbed headlines and is also turning into a corporate dogfight with a prominent third party trying to scuttle the merger and take control of Inter Pipeline. Today, we examine the two companies and what the combined entity might look like and what it might mean for the energy industry in Canada. The midstream sector provides many valuable functions for the oil and natural gas industries, gathering, long-haul, and distribution pipelines, other forms of energy transportation such as barges and trucking, gas processing plants, oil batteries, fractionation plants, and energy storage, gas and oil, to name just a few. And there are at least half a dozen midstream players of size in Canada whose footprints for such services overlap, especially regarding gathering pipes, fractionation, and gas processing. Two such companies, Pembina Pipeline Corporation and Inter Pipeline Limited, announced June 1 that they had agreed to combine their operations in a deal that, if consummated, would create Canada's largest energy midstream company. Although the transaction is described as a friendly merger, it is effectively an agreed-upon corporate takeover of Inter Pipeline by Pembina. Before discussing what the combined entity might look like, let's briefly touch on each company separately. Calgary, Alberta-based Pembina began life in the mid-1950s as an operator of oil and natural gas pipelines in, not surprisingly, the Pembina field of West Central Alberta. Over the decades, with expansions, acquisitions, and the transformation to a publicly traded company in 1998, Pembina has evolved into a big player. The company now operates a vast network of crude oil and NGL gathering pipelines across Western Alberta and northeastern British Columbia, or BC, as well as oil sands and ethane pipelines, and also natural gas transportation through its 50% ownership interests in the 1.7 BCF per day Alliance Pipeline and the Ruby Pipeline, which connects the gas trading hubs of Opal, Wyoming, and Malin, Oregon. Pembina also owns 6.1 BCF per day of gas processing capacity, 354,000 barrels per day of fractionation capacity, and 32 million barrels of storage capacity, plus its recently commissioned Prince Rupert LPG export terminal on BC's coastline. Further, Pembina offers marketing and blending operations for producers and bulk marine exports through a terminal in Vancouver, BC, that it acquired from Kinder Morgan Canada in 2019. Inter Pipeline Limited, or IPL, is Pembina's crosstown rival in Calgary. A publicly traded company since 1997, IPL's midstream operations are somewhat more concentrated, involving crude oil and diluent pipelines between Edmonton, AB, and oil sands operations in the Fort McMurray, AB, region, crude oil pipeline systems in central and southern Alberta and Saskatchewan, and fractionation plants including Canada's largest, the Cochrane Straddle Plant, which can process up to 2.5 BCF per day of gas and fractionate up to 100,000 barrels per day of mixed NGLs into ethane and propane. IPL's crown jewel is the $4 billion Canadian dollars, or $3.3 billion US dollars, Heartland Petrochemical Complex, or HPC, just northeast of Edmonton, which will be Canada's first propane dehydrogenation and polypropylene, or PDHPP, plant, and which is due for completion by mid-2022. Upon its startup, HPC will consume 22,000 barrels per day of propane in what is becoming a steadily tightening Western Canadian propane market. As we said, the friendly merger of these companies was announced a few weeks ago, but there were a lot of fireworks before that, primarily related to IPL. Since undertaking construction of the HPC project in 2018, IPL has been under increasing pressure to further de-risk the project by bringing in a strategic partner to share construction costs in return for a share of the eventual earnings from the project. With investors concerned about the lack of progress in finding a partner and then rattled by the COVID-related meltdown in energy markets in the spring of 2020, IPL's share price languished for much of last year and the first few weeks of 2021. That all changed when Toronto-based Brookfield Infrastructure Partners LP, or BIP, made an unsolicited offer for IPL on February 11. BIP is an international developer and owner of a wide range of assets spanning electric and gas utilities, road, rail, and port transportation, data transmission, and natural gas pipelines and storage. BIP is part of the larger Brookfield family of companies that owns and operates a diverse group of businesses covering real estate, insurance, private equity, renewable power, and, as we mentioned, infrastructure. Brookfield has a reputation for buying up companies and assets that are considered to be distressed or undervalued. In the months following BIP's initial offer, IPL formed a strategic review process and then formally rejected the offer, deeming it to be too low. Moreover, IPL announced on April 5 that it had received a $408 million Canadian dollar grant under Alberta's Petrochemical Incentives Program that would provide a direct cash infusion to lighten the spending load surrounding construction of HPC. With BIP's offer set to expire by June 7, IPL was under pressure to find some kind of alternative to the Brookfield offer. The pressure was relieved on June 1 when the merger with Pembina was announced. However, the story is not closed on this merger as the situation continues to evolve. Brookfield raised its offer for IPL in an all-cash bid in early June, equating to a share equivalent price superior to that of Pembina's. IPL's board has recommended that IPL shareholders reject Brookfield's higher offer, but Brookfield continues to push for its acceptance. With the volume rising on both sides of this corporate takeover fight, the outcome for what could eventually be Canada's largest publicly traded midstream company hangs in the balance. Should the Pembina-IPL merger reach a successful conclusion, what would the combined company look like? The combination would certainly create the largest midstream player in terms of NGL diluent and crude oil transportation, with capacity totaling 6.2 million barrels of oil equivalent per day, with Pembina and IPL contributing an equal amount of capacity to the combined company. Strategically, Pembina's Peace Pipeline system, which sends most of its NGL barrels to its Edmonton hub, could more efficiently combine with IPL's Polaris pipeline, which originates in Edmonton, and ship a portion of the NGLs to the oil sands in the form of pentanes plus, often referred to in Canada as condensate, for use as diluent with oil sands heavy crude. Unlike the diluent-only Polaris line, IPL's Corridor and Cold Lake systems have bidirectional capabilities, shipping diluent to the oil sands and returning diluted bitumen, or dilbit, back to the Edmonton and Hardisty hubs. In turn, Pembina may also be able to find further efficiencies across pipeline platforms by combining services on its Mitsue Diluent and Nipisi Swan Hills heavy oil pipelines, which run to the northwest of Edmonton. At a minimum, pipeline customers who now pay separate fees to the two companies may benefit from combined, and presumably lower, tariffs. Pembina also operates two synthetic crude oil, or SCO, pipelines, Horizon and Syncrude, along the same corridor as IPL's pipelines from the oil sands to the Edmonton hub. For a full review of Western Canada's diluent distribution system for the oil sands, see our four-part series He Ain't Heavy, He's My Diluent. From the Edmonton and Hardisty hubs, dilbit and other crude streams would then have access to multiple pipelines for export, such as Enbridge's Mainline system or TC Energy's Keystone Pipeline. The combined company could also offer direct export access of its own from Edmonton and Hardisty using IPL Central Alberta and Bow River pipeline systems in combination with IPL's recently acquired Milk River Pipeline, which exports directly into Plains All American's Western Corridor pipeline system. Western Corridor connects with the refining center in Casper, Wyoming. As for natural gas processing, the combined company would control nearly 9 BCF per day of capacity, or more than 40% of the total gas processing capacity in Western Canada. This would include IPL's lucrative oil sands operations, Pioneer 1 and 2, which extract NGLs from off-gases generated from third-party oil sands producers for eventual shipment via the Boreal pipeline into the Edmonton hub. IPL's Cochrane Straddle plant is also a valuable prize, with processing capacity of 2.5 BCF per day, the largest of any gas processing plant in Canada. More distant processing plants include the Saskatchewan Ethane Extraction Plant, or SEEP, and, close by but not in Western Canada, the Palermo Complex in the Bakken in western North Dakota. Fractionation capacity at the combined company, dominated by Pembina's contribution, would total 390,000 barrels per day, which would represent more than 60% of all the fractionation capacity in Western Canada. This includes Pembina's fractionator at Empress in southeastern Alberta, its Redwater Complex, and IPL's Redwater Olefinic Fractionator. Pembina also has the Aux Sable Fractionator at the terminus of the Alliance Pipeline near Chicago, and another unit in Sarnia, on. Then there's the HPC project, which is set to begin operating by the middle of next year. Pembina has already highlighted the possibility of linking IPL's Cochrane Straddle plant to Pembina's NGL pipeline system for eventual transportation of propane to the HPC site. In addition, the combined critical mass in handling butane volumes also is on the table with the potential future development of a butane splitter, or disobutanizer, in Fort Saskatchewan. Exports that are not reliant on the single customer, the US dash can also be considered with Pembina's Prince Rupert LPG export terminal that we mentioned earlier, and which recently began exporting propane to Asia beginning in April. Also, Pembina's Vancouver Wharves, Purple Dots, location outside of Vancouver, BC can export both liquid and dry bulk goods to Asian markets. Finally, the combined companies would operate about 38 million barrels of liquid storage capacity spread across Western Canada, of which about half is dedicated to oil and diluent storage at the Edmonton and Hardisty hubs. Pembina also has some railing terminals at its Redwater complex just outside Edmonton in Fort Saskatchewan. Clearly, there is a lot to consider in what the combined entity means for the broader Canadian energy market, and we only describe the larger assets in each company, not including the many other smaller storage sites, loading/offloading terminals, a refined products pipeline, and renewable energy projects. It is unclear if the combined Pembina IPL entity will fall under the microscope of government regulatory authorities that might evaluate the potential concentration for aspects of energy services, and if such a combination might limit competition for these services. So far, there appears to be no indication that Canada's federal government or provincial governments are closely scrutinizing the potential combination. Even if Pembina is not successful in its merger with IPL, it already has numerous other projects on the drawing board. Number 1. Formation of the Chinook Pathways Partnership with the Western Indigenous Pipeline Group, a coalition of First Nation bands to formulate an ownership bid for the Government of Canada-operated Trans Mountain Pipeline and its currently under construction expansion, Trans Mountain Expansion, or TMX. Number 2. Formation of the Cedar LNG Partnership with the Haisla First Nation to evaluate the possible development of a floating LNG terminal just downstream from the currently under construction LNG Canada terminal in Kitimat, BC. Number 3. Ongoing expansion of its Vancouver Wharves terminal and potential future expansion of its Prince Rupert LPG export terminal. Number 4. Reactivation of the Phase 9 expansion of its Peace Pipeline system. Number 5. Development of a carbon transportation and sequestration system in Alberta in conjunction with TC Energy. As we mentioned earlier, the fight for IPL is not over, with Brookfield still suggesting to IPL shareholders that they should tender their shares for its all-cash consideration. Brookfield already owns directly or indirectly nearly 20% of IPL, which may present challenges when the Pembina-IPL merger is voted on by shareholders at the currently scheduled meeting on July 29th. We fully expect a few more salvos from both sides before the July 29th vote in this increasingly contentious fight for a sizable portion of Canada's midstream business. United We Stand was written by Tony Hiller and Peter Simons, aka John Goodison. It appears as the fifth song on side 2 of Brotherhood of Man's debut album of the same title. Released as a single from the upcoming album in January 1970, the song went to number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. Personnel on the record were Tony Burrows, Sue Glover, Sonny Leslie, John Goodison, and Roger Greenaway on vocals. The album United We Stand was recorded in 1969 to 1970, with Tony Hiller producing. Released in the US in June 1970, the LP went to number 168 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. Two singles were released from the album. Hiller put together Brotherhood of Man in the UK from a selection of session singers, including the duo Sue and Sonny. Brotherhood of Man has released 16 studio albums, 2 compilation albums, and 31 singles. The band, with all new members since United We Stand, had become a hit, won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1976 with their song, Save Your Kisses for Me. They achieved their greatest success in their native UK, with 3 number 1 singles and 4 top 20 albums. The group has sold more than 15 million records worldwide. Brotherhood of Man still performs occasionally in Europe.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.